This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. On this week's program, we'll talk with Congressman Louie Gohmert of Texas about the apparent corruption issues within the Department of Justice. A little later in the show, we'll introduce you to freshman Congressman Robert Pittenger from North Carolina. But first, FRC President Tony Perkins is joined by Texas Governor and Eagle Scout Rick Perry to talk about the recent decision on scouting. Here's Tony as he gets things started.
Well, after two decades of bitter back and forth, one of the last strongholds for morality in America finally buckled under the pressure. Despite a relentless push by scouts in every state, the National Council exchanged a century-old legacy for a false compromise that puts an American tradition on the pathway to extinction. After 103 years of principled leadership, the organization proved that it was incapable of the same kind of courage that it's been instilling in American boys since the beginning of the organization in the 1900s. By a lopsided vote, delegates ushered into the Boy Scouts a new era of moral compromise, allowing open homosexuality among the boys and turning against the majority of members in the process. We know corporate elites were putting a lot of pressure, the homosexual activists as well. And in the end, the delegates there voted to open up the ranks. And even in the wake of that, before the ink had dried on the press reports, those pushing this said it was not enough and that the ranks of the leaders would have to be opened up as well. And joining me now, Texas Governor Rick Perry, who has been rock solid in his support for the Scouts' longstanding policy throughout the whole process, joins me today. Governor, welcome to the program.
Tony, good to be with you, sir. I wish we were having a conversation about a different outcome, but as you said, it wasn't necessarily surprising. The Boy Scouts of America been built upon the values of faith and family for more than 100 years. This decision contradicts generations of tradition in the name of political correctness. So, the fight goes on. Disappointment, yes, but discouragement, no.
You're absolutely right. And for the benefit of our listeners, this is personal for you in many ways because you're an Eagle Scout. You have sons that have been involved in scouting, and you wrote a book on scouting. You've been very straightforward in your defense of scouting and the role that it has played in helping so many young boys make that difficult journey into manhood. So no doubt it is somewhat disappointing, but I want to ask you this question. Given what we see, given what we've heard, what do you think the impact is going to be upon scouting as a whole in this nation?
Well, I don't know yet. My instinct is that this was all about political correctness. This was a debate that was pushed by a very radical agenda. We have seen the deterioration of values for a fairly substantial period of time across this country from the standpoint of these groups using their pressure on corporate America in particular and a host of different areas. But, it will yet to be seen. My instinct is that, kids have a lot of choices. Parents have a lot of choices. Boy Scouts for 100 years was one of those where you always wanted to guide your son into because of the values of faith and family that were very important and taught there and upheld. I certainly will always cherish my time as a scout, the life lessons that I learned. I think a loving, tolerant view towards those who have different sexual preferences is the ideal position. But scouts has never been about sexuality. And my point is, and that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, it shouldn't be. Scouting is not about sex, about building character. But those who wanted to push their agenda will have now put parents and young men in the position of making a decision of, is this where I want to spend my time? Is this an organization that I do want to be associated with? I think the jury's going to be out for a while. I do think that those on that board made a decision that was driven by political correctness, by money. They will look back on it someday and be held accountable. That day will come, and they will stand before their maker and be accountable for the decisions that they made.
Yeah, Governor, I think most of these decisions like this, the reaction, as you know, every action has a reaction, and sometimes they're slower than others. And I don't think we're going to see the complete ramifications of this in 6 months, a year. I think it's going to take a couple of years. I think you're going to see an initial exit of some scouts, as I've talked to leaders and I've talked to some pastors who charter troops. It's just going to be incompatible with the bylaws and the structure of their churches. But I think what's to come after this that's going to be most problematic. Already threatening lawsuits to make sure that the leadership is open to homosexuals. There are those in the ranks of the atheists saying they've got to drop the requirement that a scout believe in God. So I'm just afraid that this is the beginning.
Correct, this is just the start. And we saw that as soon as the decision was made on this issue, that wasn't enough. You're going to be forced to take and open it up to gay scoutmasters. Listen, I wrote the book Fed Up about why the American values of Boy Scouts are absolutely worth fighting for. And I detailed how the war on Boy Scout family and traditional values by activists like the ACLU has been taking place for a very long time. I mean, Scouts have been under attack for a very, very long time, and at a great cost, yeah. I might say. And you, this is not over. I mean, if that board thinks for a minute that this decision, listen, if we'll just accept this compromise, then we can all go on about our business and live happily ever after. Forget it, fellas. This is a long, ongoing war that has been fought against Boy Scouts. And for a long, long time, there were courageous individuals who stood up and said, no, we are a private organization. If you don't, accept or appreciate our position, then, you can go on and do something else. What they have done with this decision is to capitulate, and I think a great organization has been hurt.
You can find out more about the decision by the Boy Scouts of America when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. We'll be back with more Washington Watch Weekly right after this.
Everybody says we're on the wrong side of history, but we respectfully disagree. History is not yet written, but we want to help write it. We are the Marriage Generation, children of the 1980s, who remain committed to the meaning and enduring value of marriage. Court rulings and elections cannot define truth. Our passion is to revive a marriage culture and shape the way our generation thinks and talks about marriage. We are not indifferent. We are the Marriage Generation. To learn more about us, visit marriagegeneration.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch Weekly. Well, up next, FRC President Tony Perkins is joined by Congressman Louie Gohmert of Texas as they take a deeper look at what's been going on in the Department of Justice. Here's Tony as he gives us a little background.
Well, Attorney General Eric Holder is under heavy scrutiny for possibly using the Espionage Act to prosecute private citizens who work as members of the news media. When questioned by Democratic Representative Hank Johnson of Georgia on May 15th about the prosecution for publishing classified information, this was the Attorney General's response. Quote, "That is not something that I have ever been involved in, heard of, or would think would be wise policy," end quote. Well, Republicans on the Judiciary Committee are now demanding answers and sent a letter to the Attorney General in an effort to determine if he lied under oath on this matter. Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert sits on the House Judiciary Committee, and he joins me now. Congressman Gohmert, welcome back to the program.
Always good to talk to you, Tony.
Well, Louie, I know that you have been busy with this administration, especially on the Judiciary Committee, as this administration, to put it mildly, is how I would describe it. They're more crooked than a dog's hind leg, but that's the way I would describe it in Louisiana. Up here, it looks like they're operating very corruptly. Is this latest revelation enough to rein in the Attorney General?
Well, it depends on the Republican leadership because, as you will recall, the House voted to find the Attorney General in contempt because he was in contempt of Congress. He was not producing what he was lawfully required to produce, and yet we haven't pushed it through to any type of fruition. No, the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia was not going to go after his boss because it's a corrupt administration. We can now say that because it has manifested itself so clearly. So then the Attorney General had also testified before us and said, gee, I only learned about Fast and Furious a few weeks ago. And it turned out, we found out later, he had known for many months about it. So that was not truthful. And then we have this revelation, and this is a self-inflicted wound. He wasn't asked specifically about this, but he volunteered it. If you volunteer something, it's got to be truthful. And he says, he had never been involved or known or heard of any type of prosecution like this. Well, then we find out that, yes, actually, he had to sign off on the affidavit for a warrant to pursue James Rosen for criminal violations. That's the beginning of a prosecution. And so either he lied to Congress or he committed a fraud upon the court, basically, is what it looks like it comes down to.
Why should folks be concerned about this, given all of the other things that this administration has been involved in? You know, if he lied to Congress, why should we be concerned?
Well, it should be of enormous concern when you couple it with the abuses by the IRS. They went after all of the political opponents of the president and of the president's policies, used the IRS for that. Turns out there are lies that have been told in that. And let's look at who the most feared. People have a fear of the IRS. And if you add on top of that that the Justice Department is also nothing but cronies trying to protect the president and going on fishing expeditions, then there's a great deal to be feared.
Well, Congressman Gohmert, this in particular deals with the media. And of course, the media has, they're kind of, they're usually kind of left alone. But here, this administration is actually pursuing them, even to the point where I believe they were getting their phone records from the House gallery there outside
absolutely.
The House.
And that is you're exactly right. That's even more egregious when you find out that there were only a handful of people in the administration who knew the information that Attorney General Holder was such an egregious violation to leak. And instead of just going after those handful of records, they didn't even need a warrant to go after. They were their own administration's records. Instead of doing that, they'll go after hundreds, a couple hundred or so, phone lines of the AP. Is outrageous, and including the phone records in the House gallery. And who do they call when they're in the House gallery? Normally members of Congress. So that violated not only the freedom of the press, freedom of speech, but also the congressional privilege that we have to be able to talk to people and have sources that provide us information. Otherwise, we cannot adequately do oversight.
You know, Congressman Gohmert, that reminds me of a few years ago, back during the Bush administration, when actually a member of the Louisiana congressional delegation, William
That's
Jefferson,
right.
They found him with $100,000 of cold hard cash in his freezer. But prior to that, they went into his congressional office, and you remember the uproar over that about breaching that line of distinction between the branches of service.
That's right, and the Supreme Court slapped down the warrant that they contrived to get. And I know there were some people that said, well, what, does Congress think they're better than everybody else, that they don't get to have warrants against them? They completely misunderstood and didn't understand and really read the Constitution. There is a privilege for Congress that allows us to have people to give us private information. Without that ability, we can never do proper oversight. And the FBI has no right to come into a member of Congress's office and get material and find out what members of the FBI are actually talking to them and are becoming whistleblowers about problems within the FBI. They have no right. And if we can't get that information, then the executive branch can just completely run around like they have right now. You know, finally, the AP and some others start actually doing their job, and what happens? They come after them. James Rosen was just trying to find out information about past Imperius, what this attorney general's been held in contempt for not providing, and instead of going after the getting to the bottom of Fast and Furious, he chooses to go after somebody that might have found out something about how bad his Department of Justice was injustice.
So, you know, what we were told about Rosen, that he was getting classified information. What liability does he have if he's being provided classified information, whether he knows it's classified or not? Does he have a legal obligation at that point to report something?
Well, he actually does not have a legal obligation to report getting such information. The problem, again, is with the leaker. And like with what was leaked to the AP, you know, there are stories out there that indicate that the source may well have been John Brennan, now the head of the CIA. Well, that would have been important to know before he was confirmed as director of the CIA.
Absolutely. Hey, Louis, we're up against the break. Louis, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks so much for voter confidence.
You can find out more about Louis Gohmert and the issues he's working on when you go to TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, you can also find a link so that you can let your member of Congress know how you feel about the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. We'll be back right after this.
Scientists in Oregon recently announced that they had created cloned human life and then destroyed that life to extract embryonic stem cells. They used the same technique that had created Dolly the cloned sheep, but modified the process because this time they were using human eggs and human cells. Some will celebrate this news, but however sophisticated or well-intended the research, human cloning opens the door to a brave but highly dangerous new world. It also subjects young women to enormous health risks and turns them into a biotech commodity and target for exploitation. But there is another way. Scientists have researched and used ethical stem cell alternatives to help heal patients. Adult stem cells do not require the destruction of human life, but are currently healing over 60,000 patients each year. To find out more about the science and ethics of stem cell research, download our new brochure at frc.org/stem cells.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Well, up next, we'll talk with Representative Robert Pittenger about the spiritual side of Capitol Hill. Here's FRC President Tony Perkins as he introduces our guest.
You know, with so many elected officials here in Washington weighing in on the issues that are critical to our country, we want to make sure that you know who the good guys are that are up here representing you. Even though they may not be your congressman, they're representing the things you care about. Congressman Robert Pittenger is serving his first term in the United States Congress, representing the citizens of North Carolina's 9th Congressional District. And he has a very interesting background upon graduating from the University of Texas. Congressman Pittenger began his career in service to his faith, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He worked for 10 years as the assistant to the president of Campus Crusade for Christ and helped to bring the work of the organization to over 170 countries. He also served in the North Carolina State Senate from 2003 to 2008, where he was a champion on issues concerning the family, and he continues that service now in Congress, and I'm happy to welcome him into the program for the first time. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Tony. Great to be with you. I've just respected your work over all these years and pray for you and just know that God will continue to give us victory as we walk and serve him.
Well, thank you. And I have to tell you, when I look at the growing list of men and women in Congress that have backgrounds just like yours, you cannot help but be encouraged by the people who are coming here to Washington, D.C. Now, I know it's not reflected every night in the news, maybe not even seen in the leadership of either party, but there are some really good folks here that are trying to get this nation on the right track.
There really are. It is so encouraging. I go to two Bible studies, one on Wednesday and one on Thursday mornings, and I go to two prayer groups. We have a prayer group the first night we come back. Well, we either come back on a Monday night or a Tuesday night, and after the first vote, we have a prayer caucus, and we go in, and we just members, and we write down needs of people we know about to pray for, and then there's another prayer a meeting that I go to, and we pray for issues and concerns that come up. It's just a very godly group of people. I really love these folks, and it's just a blessing to be able to serve with them.
What's fascinating to me, Robert, is the clear connection for many, ministry and government. I mean, you served with Bill Bright, obviously one of the world's top evangelistic organizations, leading people to Christ. But then you served in public office in the state of North Carolina. Now you're serving in Congress. It is a ministry to be serving in government. I don't think many in the church realize that.
It's a calling, and you have to be called to it because the attack is so severe. Look, so grievously, I met with several reporters already today on this situation with Dr. Graham and with Franklin, mm-hmm. and what they've done to impugn their integrity or seek to with the IRS. I mean, it's just absolute the lowest. But in each measure, in, you know, the world out there, including the media, they're not necessarily akin to our biblical perspective. And so you got to grow some thick skin and be prepared to be maligned and mischaracterized and misconstrued, for your beliefs. And my family, and your family goes through this. It's just not the person running.
And so you're right. You have to be called to it, because if you're not called to it, you'll run from it.
It is absolutely a calling. And I respect everybody who says, who listens to the Lord. I'll tell you, though, and honestly, when I was in college, I wanted to be governor of Texas. But at the time, I was driven by the what I thought would make me happy was the accumulation of power and wealth. It wasn't until my senior year in college that all those false concepts of happiness and success, were removed. Because I'd seen enough of it. I'd worked in the state legislature. I worked for the lieutenant governor all through college. And that whole straw man image of what truth was and what success was broken down. But then there's a time, 35 years later, the Lord says, this is where I want you to be. And I've really likened it to God and Moses, and God told Moses, he had the staff in his hand. He told him to drop the staff. It would turn into a snake.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses, questioned God, why do you want me to drop the staff? Well, there's a snake in it. But God was really saying, I didn't ask you to ask me why. I told you to drop it. And what was important to me in my life at that time was the pursuit, of the world. And God was saying, I want you to give up those personal desires and ambitions, and I want you to release them to me. And so Moses let go of it, and then God told him to pick it back up. What did it become? Well, as Dr. Ian Thomas used to say, it became the rod of God. And he, won every battle with the staff lifted up, part of the Red Sea.
I think the greater faith was not throwing the staff down. It was picking it back up when it was a snake.
It was exactly right. But then that staff became something powerful.
It sure did. And that's the way God often works in our lives, that those things that we want, we hold on to when we release them, as Abraham did Isaac.
Yeah,
we really then see what the Lord has in store.
That's been really the miracle of coming back up here. I walked these hallways in my 20s working for Dr. Bright, and never had a clue in my head I'd ever be a congressman.
I want to ask you this, Congressman, because, I think your background focused on evangelism. I mean, I don't know. I had the privilege of meeting Dr. Bright and talking to him a couple of times, but I can't think of another individual, maybe Billy Graham, but so focused on evangelism and winning people to Christ. And then for you being in that environment and making the step over to being in office. Now, I completely get that. I understand it. I'm there. But so many in the church feel like, oh, we can't touch politics. I want you to speak to that issue, to those Christians out there listening who may have inadvertently tuned into this program today, about how we as Christians have a responsibility in this realm.
Well, we're called to be salt and light. And we're also told to occupy the land. And we have a responsibility before the Lord to be his person wherever we are in life. And if you're a beautician, or if you're your electrician, whatever, I mean, you are there to be, you know, God's person. Well, we have a number of aspects of our real life that we're a part of, and the government is one of them. Education is one of them. You know, we need solid believers in academia. We need solid believers in the media. We need solid people, you know, in government who are there to institute the principles that are biblical. One of the Bible studies I go to is we look at the biblical perspective of issues. We looked at immigration today, what the Bible has to say about immigration. And we've done it with homosexuality. We do it with various issues all each week. It's a remarkable study because it's nothing but pulling Scripture out and working through that.
It's amazing what the Bible speaks to if we'll just read it and apply it.
That's right. So it's not about parties. I'm not here as an advocate of a party. I'm here as an advocate of the Word of God. And what's the Word of God have to say about a given situation? There's a lot to say in Proverbs about debt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's replete with verses, you know, really commanding us to avoid debt.
Well, it says that the borrower is going to be servant to the lender.
Look where we are today. I mean, $17 trillion of debt, $1 trillion annual deficits is wrong. And we're enslaved. And we're, look at our obligations to even to China. It's inconceivable to me that there's been such irresponsibility. And so the biblical worldview has a total role in public affairs. And I think if we're not here, then we allow those who oppose our worldview to be there to supplant that and to continue in a very materialistic, humanistic worldview.
And I think that's exactly what's been going on in this country for far too long.
We hope you'll be in prayer for all members of Congress as they make important decisions that affect us all. You can find out more about the issues they face when you visit TonyPerkins.com. And for more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, you can reach us by phone at 866-372-1212, or you can partner with us online at TonyPerkins.com. Washington Watch Weekly is sponsored by the Family Research Council.